ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hey, News Daily listeners. I'm Dominique Bayens, host of the new podcast Expanse, The NANUP 4. 2 decades after 4 people vanished in WA, those left behind are still asking, was it a choice? Or murder.
I just wished I'd asked a lot more questions no matter what.
After their disappearance, a complex picture of deceit, control and cults came to light.
I was starting to think this is not going to end well.
Search Expanse on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been less than a week since the war in Iran began, but already it's having an economic impact here. Oil and gas prices are rising, and that has the Reserve Bank worried about inflation, and analysts warning that could mean more interest rate hikes. Today, Chief Business Correspondent Ian Verinder on why we're so economically vulnerable to a conflict so far away and what we can expect in the weeks ahead. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Ian, economic predictions, they never tend to last long, do they? They can be pretty rubbery.
That's right, Sam. They certainly are.
And now we have it again, right? All the predictions, they're being thrown out with the war in Iran.
Yeah, certainly thrown a major spanner into the works. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I think most investors, at least, and most people around the world were expecting some kind of negotiated settlement to this rather than an outright war.
Yeah.
And I think you saw that in the first few days, at least, of the conflict, where markets really didn't do much at all, and even the price of oil. And it still hasn't really taken off. I mean, oil prices went from below $60 a barrel, which is historically pretty low, just a few weeks before all this began, to around about 70 as the negotiations, you know, went on. Mm. And then once hostilities broke out, it went into the mid to high 70s, low 80s, and it's still around that level at the moment. It has gone higher on occasions, upper in the mid to high 80s, but it's still around that $80 a barrel level.
How does that translate at the bowser, though, for us?
Well, I mean, obviously higher oil prices mean, higher petrol prices. Mm. We import most of our petrol these days. There's a bit of an offset there in that the Australian dollar has strengthened over the course of the past few months. Mm. So that is a bit of a mitigating factor. But there's no escaping that we'll probably see, price hikes at the bowser by, 30, 40 cents a litre. So,
which is pretty significant.
It is, but there's probably greater significance, I think, in some of the tactics that have more recently been employed, which are affecting gas supplies, and particularly Qatar.
Following the assassination of its supreme leader, Iran has been carrying out retaliatory strikes across the Middle East, including hitting energy sites in Qatar and Saudi Arabia.
The war is continuing to expand geographically. Iran is attacking Gulf countries. Among its targets, a major gas plant in Qatar.
It's shut down all its gas operations in the Gulf. And that is going to cause serious problems within Europe because Qatar now is the big supplier to Europe. So if there's no gas going out of Qatar, that's going to be a major issue and possibly will impact Australia as well. Now, where we sit in this whole equation is that we are a major energy exporter, but we import our oil, but we export huge amounts of gas. Mm. And it's been a problem for us because the East Coast in particular, the states and the federal government never ensured that we had enough gas onshore here during crisis periods like this. So if gas prices do spike, and they've already started to do that, and the big gas exporters try to take advantage of that, it'll be a real test of the federal government's recently imposed gas reservation scheme to see whether or not we can put some kind of a lid on domestic gas prices here.
Mm.
If not, we're going to see a rerun of what happened when Russia invaded Ukraine, which was you get this massive spike in gas prices. That then flows through into electricity prices. That then flows through into inflation. And the Reserve Bank has no option in that case other than to raise interest rates.
So we have this huge amount of LNG, liquefied natural gas, but we export so much of it that we're not left with much as consumers here in Australia. It's a bit crazy, really.
Well, it is. I mean, what's been happening is that, you know, we've been, well, one of the big exporters, Santos, has actually been draining gas out of the domestic system so that it can meet its obligations, its export obligations. And that's been happening really for nearly a decade now because they wrote, you know, extraordinarily large contracts when they were in the development phase and then couldn't actually source the gas out of the ground. So the only way for them to do it was to actually buy gas out of the domestic system and send that offshore. Now, this new gas reservation policy, which has yet to really kick into gear, is supposed to, if not solve, at least alleviate those kind of problems. I mean, I don't think you can ever really, you know, insulate yourself from global affairs. And if you're, you've got a gas export industry, you're never going to have a domestic price that is completely divorced from the export industry. Mm. But it was supposed to, you know, do something to ensure that we don't end up with shortages and huge price spikes. I mean, it's gas that has really caused the big inflation problem that Australia has suffered over the past, you know, couple of years. And if you just think back to the last few months with what's been going on, it's the removal of the electricity rebates that's now kind of having an impact on inflation now. And so we're still paying the price for those gas spikes back then.
Oh, gosh. All right. Now, just to explain this a bit further though, Ian, the Iranians have been hitting major oil and gas production sites in Qatar and Saudi Arabia. That's the problem for gas. Also, of course, with oil, it's shut down the Strait of Hormuz. So just to explain that, I know we've kind of talked about this before, but explain that again because it's so significant, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, look, almost all of the oil and gas produced in the Middle East flows through the Persian Gulf. And that's from, you know, Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Bahrain, Iran, Iraq, every single possible state you can possibly think of ships their oil and gas through this narrow waterway called the Strait of Hormuz. Mm. Iran is essentially saying that they will shut it down completely. And that's never happened before. I mean, they're saying they'll burn any ship that comes through. So as a result of that, suddenly global markets have woken up. Wall Street's taken a dive. We've had a couple of days of heavy falls here. And the US has responded by saying, well, because no insurer will insure a ship to go through the straits, we'll insure ships going through the straits and we'll provide Navy escorts. Yeah. Whether that's possible or not remains to be seen. But at the moment, there's something like 40 crude carriers sitting in the Gulf at the moment with about 2 million barrels of oil on it.
Yeah, and as you say, the insurers have run a mile, right? They don't want to insure any of these ships. Now, as you say, Donald Trump says the US Navy will provide some sort of protection. Has that actually ever happened before? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
No.
Interesting.
And so, you know, so that means the US Navy will be putting itself in harm's way as well.
Yeah.
You could imagine that there'd be a fairly strong military response to any attacks on US Navy ships. But, I mean, it is a very narrow stretch of water and the problem these days is that warfare can be conducted very discreetly and very cheaply with drones. And Iran's been a major manufacturer of drones for quite some time. It's been exporting a lot of them to Russia for its war in Ukraine. But the drones have been incredibly effective. I mean, they've hit the facilities in Qatar. They've knocked out or, you know, caused a shutdown of that oil refinery in Saudi Arabia. And they're really going to start targeting pipelines and every bit of oil infrastructure as they can to exert the maximum amount of pain on the rest of the world.
Well, Ian, as you say, gas is our biggest problem at this point, but let's just return to petrol for a moment. Now, the government and the Energy Minister, Chris Bowen, is urging people don't panic buy, you know, don't go out there and fill up your jerry cans.
There is no need to rush to the service station and fill up. I do understand people's concerns, but it's important that people know we do have a good stock of petrol in reserve in Australia. There is no immediate threat to petrol supplies in Australia.
But of course, people are really concerned, aren't they? So they want to get on top of this, fill up their cars before the prices go too high.
Across the country, some motorists are getting in early, filling their tanks before any price hikes take hold.
I have to fill up while I can, before it gets too bad.
People are trying to get the fuel as soon as possible and fill up the fuel tanks.
Pretty sure oil prices will really go up, so I decided to just fill up my tanks, yeah.
How soon will we see petrol prices really start to hit a peak?
Probably start to see petrol prices rise now. Mm. You know, they seem to be to fluctuate in huge margins. I mean, I live in Sydney, in southern Sydney, and sometimes I can see a 50 cent per litre difference in the price of petrol over a fairly short space of area, really. It's quite extraordinary. So there seems to be the capacity for retailers to just raise prices at will. And I know the ACCC has a watching brief over what goes on in the retail market, but, you know, there's going to be a pretty good excuse to be raising prices. I mean, you only have to cast your mind back to the great toilet paper shortage of the pandemic to see how irrational people can be when it comes to buying this kind of stuff. Yeah. So, I mean, the government is saying we've got enough supplies to last us through to, I think, mid-May, I think they're saying. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if there is panic buying, if it does start, well, you know, maybe they'll have to do some kind of rationing of buying. You know, interestingly, America has gone into this conflict with the lowest reserves on record. So they're not prepared for this either. And so I think there might be a major factor in how long this goes on that will be dictated by petrol prices in America because, you know, the US midterm elections are coming up soon and any spike in fuel prices in middle America is really going to reverberate through to the polling booths. Mm. And, you know, Donald Trump did promise lower fuel prices. He also promised, of course, he'd stay out of wars.
All right, yeah, and because it's not just at the Bowser, of course, it's a flow-on effect, right, to the supermarkets because everything in the supermarket comes on a truck that needs petrol.
Yep.
And then we come back to this inflationary pressure. So let's just have a bit more of a look at that. The Reserve Bank Governor, Michelle Bullock, she spoke about this at the AFR Business Summit this week.
These events are a timely reminder that in this world of geopolitical uncertainty, things can change quickly.
Just tell me what she had to say about what she expects we might see in relation to inflation because of this conflict.
Well, I mean, you know, the central bankers and Michelle Bullock is no exception. They always try to hedge their bets here. They never come out and say, look, we're going to be raising interest rates as a result of all of this. But she was pretty, well, she wasn't mincing words, put it that way. She essentially said, it's too early to tell what the impact of this is going to be. But, you know, she said a supply shock could, for example, add to inflation pressures and the potential implications for inflation expectations are something we are very alert to.
Mm-hmm.
With a supply shock occurring, we're in a situation where we already have high inflation. I think there is a risk that inflation expectations may start to move. So that will be something I think that will be at front of mind for the board.
That, you know, not too much of a code that you have to kind of unlock there that says be prepared for interest rate hikes if inflation takes off. So, I mean, we've already got inflation that is uncomfortably high for the Reserve Bank, and it's not going to take very much for them to need a reason or an excuse to raise rates again.
All right, well, Ian, the impact being felt here, of course, is also felt in other nations, including China, which is our largest trading partner. So what happens there, again, matters to us, right? And this is not good for China.
No, it's not. And look, I mean, Iran produces around 3% of the world's oil supply and about 80% of its or to 90% of its production is shipped straight to China. And of course, another great supplier to China was Venezuela. Mm. So you've had the US attack Venezuela and kidnap the president and now bombard Iran as well. Now, China also sources a lot of its oil from Russia. So if China can't get oil out of Iran, you would expect that Russia would come to the party there.
All right. Well, just tell me then, Ian, How worried should we be at this point? And, I mean, is there anything that the government or us as consumers can actually do to try and limit this economic impact?
Probably it's out of our hands.
Yes.
And out of the government's hands as well. Mm. I guess the biggest concern of this is how long it lasts. The duration is really key to everything here. And I mean, you know, if you look back at history, everybody says this is all going to blow over in a short period of time. Mm. I mean, George W. Bush, remember him standing on the aircraft carrier there? When was that? A few weeks after. Mission accomplished. 8 years later, they were still in Iraq. And then, of course, once they did leave, Iraq just descended into utter chaos. So who knows how long this is going to go on for? Well, the only, I think, certainty is the longer it lasts, the worse things will become.
Ian Verinder is the ABC's chief business correspondent. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.